We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show. It's the 5 o'clock Fire.
It is 5 o'clock and a Friday, and congratulations. Hopefully you're off work, and luckily for you, Old Dirty Show and T-Mill have the latest for you. And the latest is, one, we are here on the final stop of the Bullets and Bugs Tour. Make your way on out to the Boot, 1206 West 20th Street here in Houston. We'll be here for at least another hour on the air, maybe a little longer afterwards. And so it's a little warm, but it's feeling good.
You know the most beautiful thing about right now? This little man right here. I mean, can't be no more than 10. How old are you, man? No more than 11? 9.
Damn.
Tall 9-year-old. Carrying around that pigskin, man.
That doesn't
ain't, really don't let, he ain't letting it go now. He done carried it to the restroom and back. He ain't letting it go, baby.
Shout out to his dad who came out hurt with that broken finger. It's a good time.
He's going to be a football player when he grows up. I believe it, the way you're cradling that pigskin right there, man.
And the way he got that football was the giveaway here. We got one more left. We got a Whitney Merciless signed game-size helmet that you'll be able to get if you're here. All you got to do is put a ticket in there. Coming up at 5:45, your chance to win. Oh, boy, I see the fam just walked in.
The show fam easing around the corner.
I see they just walked in.
See, mom's got them all. Court's got them all under control. One of them's asleep. The other ones are going smiling, waving. Little show's kind of just easing around.
Yeah, he's out cold.
If show was responsible for him, there'd be one out in the parking lot. There'd be one running ahead of him.
The asses would all be walking.
None of them would be riding a bike, that's for sure.
Actually, they can all ride a bike except for me. All right, here is the latest. Jeremy Peña, he's been out. He's been on the 10-day IL. He did speak to the media earlier today and talked about where he is and how he's feeling about getting on the field again.
I feel really good. I mean, if I could go out and play it tonight, I think I'm ready. But I know we're going to trust the process and see where we go from there. Yesterday, I went through my normal day, my normal routine, hit off the machine, hit velo. Today, I got a lot of work in early, and everything felt normal.
All right, and that's Jeremy Peña, says he's feeling good. And Clint, also, Dusty Baker, the manager who you have issues with, said that Peña will be activated in the next day or two and won't need a rehab assignment. So he's not going to need to go to Sugar Land before they bring him back, which to me, Clint, it feels like he could potentially be back here on this trip, could be back here soon.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, this is kind of like Jake Myers for me. It's a future play. I don't know when they're gonna have him – back in the lineup, but I'm excited about Peña getting healthy, Bregman appearing to be hitting stride, improving, and Jacob Myers potentially being a everyday center fielder for the Astros.
Yeah.
So we get the young fella Peña back. Hopefully he hits stride as he's done since he's been an Astro. Hopefully Bregman continues, and hopefully Jake Myers can become that dude in center field. That the future of the Astros, that's what I'm looking for. Oh, and I hope Yuli does a little something consistently as well. But this is, when I look at the report about Peña, the report about Myers.
Myers, he's been activated. They've sent Siri down. So he'll be in. He is potentially in the lineup tonight. We'll get to that.
Yeah, my bad. The point is I'm just excited about what can be down the road here with the Peña returning from the injury and Jake obviously getting back from last year's injury.
Yeah. They, and the Jake thing, Jake Myers, if you missed that as well, he is activated. We knew that was coming, right? When they said he was flying in and was going to be in New York, we knew that was coming, that he was going to be activated. And after Siri did whatever he has done this week and I believe finished with an 0-for-4 night, he has been optioned back down to AAA Sugar Land. And good, man. He probably needs some more consistent at-bats, and that'll be good for him to be able to play every day as well. But I just hope with the Jake Meyers situation that they actually allow him to get some run in center field and don't have this platoon thing with McCormick. And if you believe it, because they seem to believe in him, it feels like that's what they wanted to do coming
this
year.
You think Click was being serious, or you think he was just blowing smoke?
I don't know, man. I think he was being serious.
I'm
going to take it as he is.
You gotta,
why would you
well,
say it?
Well, look, here's the deal. Is if he comes in and they keep rotating center fielders based on who hits off-speed or who hits left-handers or who hits Joe Blow better than the next, then you know he was full of it.
Yeah.
If this turns back into a – we're going to rotate according to what the opponent is doing or who's on the bump for the opponent.
The first
then,
week,
then
I
you know he's full of it.
The first week I could see it, Clint. Maybe they want to, you know, get his shoulders some rest to get him. But after that, man, like I just want to see him have the opportunity to play on an everyday basis to see, you know, what he can do. I think they need to do that.
5 o'clock fire.
Well, as we talked about with Jake Meyers returning, he is in the lineup. He is activated and in the lineup, and he is playing center field and batting ninth. The lineup the rest of the way today, as they will take on the Yankees to try to get back on the board there after that devastating loss last night. Jose Altuve leading off. Brantley Bregman, the best player on the planet right now. Yordan Alvarez, and I've said it. Kyle Tucker. Yuli Gurriel, Litmus Diaz is also back. That's a big thing, too, as well. He had some nicks and bruises there. Castro catching and Jake Meyers playing in center field. I'm excited about this game tonight because this is what aces do. This is what Cy Young Award winners do.
Agreed.
You just got punched in the face, or as Landry, who is here in the place, today, his nuts are feeling a little rough, as he said earlier. Oh, he repeatedly said it was a kick in the
nuts. Where are we going?
Just saying, it was a kick in the nuts.
It felt like it ripped my nuts off.
Your ace, you want your ace and your starter, your number one guy, your Cy Young candidate to come in and clean it up. And Justin Verlander, you want nobody else on the mound today after that L they took than Justin Verlander. And I can't wait to see the performance he puts forward today.
Absolutely. I'm with you, man. I mean, to me, there would be – I'm serious about how detrimental that loss could have been yesterday.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it looks like that we have lost Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley out there on the Bullets and Bugs Tour. We're going to work on getting that connection back up for you. We're going to take a quick break. And when we return, we will continue the rest of the 5 o'clock fire. Hang tight.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's the Bullets and Bugs Tour, presented by Coors Light. Live at the Boot on West 20th in Houston. Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, Clint, you know what happened here, right?
What happened?
I done wore these sunglasses out here, man. I done worn these aviators, this gold, and I done made this thing too hot, Doug.
That's a good point.
Man. I'm sorry.
There's no doubt about it,
man. I just can't. I done made this thing too hot.
It's the aviators with the gold trim that Tom Cruise
didn't even try to pull off in
Top Gun.
Tom wasn't ready to do that.
No,
wasn't
no
ready
chance.
To do that.
No chance.
That's on me. That's on me. Yeah. I done done too much.
No chance. You got all of our Wi-Fi connectors up here. They're too hot. They're on fire. My damn phone.
I can't help it.
I don't have AppleCare. You better hope my phone comes back on. I know that much.
I can't help it.
It's hard, but fair, Joe. You mess around and lose 120 pounds.
You're right.
I mean, 122.
Who's counting?
You somehow all of a sudden grow a Jalen Rose head of hair after.
We're getting closer.
After really struggling with some receding hairline, all of a sudden you've got. Headshot worthy hairline going on here. So I mean, it happens, man.
I don't know. Just out here, man. I'm just dealing with what the Lord gave me.
Yeah, and He gave it to me. Yeah, that's right.
And I might as well.
Your little boy's looking at me. He's side eyeing me like I did something wrong. It's all good, Bob.
Put your shoes on, son. Both of them. All right. Let me. No, I'm serious. I want to get your thoughts on this because. I've seen the text line go off, and it's been crazy. Like, and this happens sometimes with fans because they're emotional, like Tyler.
Yeah, we are.
This happens sometimes. And I speaking of Tyler, I want to get Tyler's thoughts on this first real quick because I think there is a conversation. Tyler, what's your feeling on Ryan Pressly? All right, last night he had a meltdown. It can't get much worse than – Hey, dog, man, just the ninth inning, man, we're going to give up a three-run lead, baby, and I can't get nobody out. I mean, anyway, Clint, you know you hate it. I'm going to walk the first two guys right off the bat, and then I'm going to give up a three-run homer on a 1-2 count. I mean, it was rough. But, Tyler, you're one of those fans, and you're one of those emotional fans at times. What's your feelings on Ryan Pressly, the closer, right now?
Man, my feelings on Ryan Pressly is that from what I've seen and heard from a lot of other Astros fans, I think everybody needs to just, like Aaron Rodgers said, just relax. Just calm down a bit because I'm not going to sit here and tell you. I mean, last night was a gut punch. It was. It absolutely was. I hate the Yankees. Most Astros fans cannot stand the Yankees. And the way you lost that game after the Yankees had only had – the only hits they had in the game were in the first inning until that ninth inning. Their only hits in the game were in the first and ninth inning. And to see that unfold, the walks, the hits, and then eventually the walk-off from Aaron Judge, a.k.a. Shrek, that hurt. It was a gut punch. I'm not denying that. But right now, today, everyone needs to relax a little bit because Ryan Pressly has shown over the last two, three seasons to be a good closer. He has shown and proven that he can be that guy for you. He had a bad night. It sucked bad. But everybody just calm down a little bit and let's see how he rebounds off of this. Because calling for him to be traded and all that's ridiculous.
Some of you Astros fans, listen to this. I mean, Tyler's the voice of reason. We're seeing that, Clint. Do you have concern for Ryan Pressly?
No, I don't.
Because I don't.
What Tyler's speaking about, I agree wholeheartedly with. The knee-jerk reaction to all of a sudden being concerned about Ryan Pressly and whether he's a starter or not, or having this strong opinion that Ryan Presley's not a good starter, not a closer, that Ryan Pressly's not a good closer. I mean, that to me, I refuse to go that route. I can't get down with those folks. I can't agree with that opinion. I wholeheartedly agree with what Tyler's saying. Relax on that front. Now, if you want to have a conversation about Ryan Pressly and being concerned about, you know, where he's at, is he healthy? I mean, he's been on the IL. He's had an injury. He's lost velocity. He struggled last night. I mean, the first half of 2022 for Ryan Pressly has not been ideal for a guy that just signed a top five or six reliever closer in the game money contract. Hasn't been perfect, hasn't been flawless. I would like to have seen really him stay healthy and maybe not give up that three-run lead last night. I think there's a conversation there that can casually be had, but the knee-jerk aggressive reaction to all of a sudden we're concerned about Pressly, I can't get down. I can't get
down.
Do
you have some
that.
Concerns?
With Pressly?
Yeah, maybe not.
My eyes on Pressly from a standpoint of, like I just said, all the things that have happened this year.
Because when you say that, I can be fair to people who say, my Ryan Pressly issue isn't just coming from last night. My Ryan Pressly issue is more than just last night, and last night was just the –
today can't be the first day that I've heard from you the Ryan Pressly issue is my point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you've had a – like, I heard Landry and John Lopez talking about it earlier, and then they had, and Landry laid it out perfectly with all the different issues, and that's the conversation. The knee-jerk reaction that he sucks and he's not a closer, get the hell out of here. It's just not the case. I mean, it's not reality. And what we saw last night, I'm not disappointed one bit last night with the lack of execution by Ryan Pressly or Stanek. To be completely honest with you,
you're not disappointed in the lack of execution.
No, I'm not going to be disappointed. Is a strong word for me. Like I hated to see it. It sucked as an Astros fan.
Yeah, Ryan Stanek was way off.
I don't have less. I mean, he threw one bad pitch. I don't have less confidence in either guy moving forward as they take the bump today.
I don't have less confidence. Well, I mean, just Wednesday against one of the best hitting teams in the league, the Mets, he went 1-2-3 in 7 minutes.
Right.
But I do. I'm disappointed. Like, you're coming out here, you're the closer with a 3-run lead, and you're walking people. And that's what led. Like, I'm disappointed in that.
Yeah, I hated to see it, but I'm not all of a sudden. I'm not. But yeah, I mean, I'd rather piss you off than have you disappointed in me. If I'm being completely honest with you, you can be madder than a hornet at me. I don't give a dang. To be completely honest with you.
Whoa.
But if you say, Clement, that disappoints me that you say that or you feel that way. Now I'm gonna lose a little sleep over it. I care a little bit. I'm not losing sleep over what I saw last night from Pressly or Stanek. Now, I think
I'm not losing sleep. I
think the way that game unfolded with the Stanek throwing a 3-0 pitch down the gut to the best hitter in baseball other than Alvarez. And now you say it was a mistake by Stanek.
Oh, okay. Severely. He was trying to throw a split finger pitch, which is designed to go in the dirt.
Okay.
And he threw it right across the middle of the plate.
My point is, if that's the case, then Dusty needs to say that after the game, is we tried to pitch around the guy and we didn't execute the pitch. He doesn't need to say, well, if I'd have walked him, then y'all would be dog cussing me today. I did not look at it as Stanek missed his spot so bad that he hit the gut of the plate and let the best hitter in baseball that he has to face. Like, he missed that. Like, he missed by 2 feet.
No, he did. He missed and threw it. He was wild the first three pitches and then said, here, I'm going right down the middle of the plate. It looked like he threw a pitch. If I didn't know what the pitch selection was, he looked like he threw it just to get me over fastball to get a strike.
Yes.
And you got to be knowing that all it takes is some sort of a fly ball or something that Aaron Judge has got the green light 3-0.
My point, though, is that I choose to believe that there wasn't a strong message during the visit to the mound of do not throw a pitch over the plate. More so than – like, I believe that was a failure in communication. Like, I don't believe that was said, and then all of a sudden Stanek just threw a split finger that hung over the middle of the plate. I mean, it's 3-0 for crying out loud. I mean, you throw it over his head. I mean, you one hop it in the grass.
I'm totally with you on the decision. I just walk them. I don't want the best player. Like, for me, if I'm the Yankees are idiots. If the game is on the line and they pitch to Yordan Alvarez,
correct,
and there's a place
correct,
where they can
correct.
Put it.
So let me rephrase it. My problem with last night, whether it was Stanek or it was the Dusty Baker and the staff not communicating it well, my problem is that you had a 3-0 count. In situational baseball, you should have walked his ass. You should have threw it over his head or behind him. Like, it shouldn't even have been close, right? Whether that's Stanek's fault or the coaching staff, the pitching coach, who whatever it was, that's the part that I'm more frustrated in than anything. The lack of guys going out there and getting beat. Hell, that happens. That happens every day in the game. That's the part that concerns me, because that's the part that's going to get you beat. I mean, the Astros got beat last night. They got beat because of a bad first inning and a bad ninth inning.
And that's why, to me
– played great in between.
That's why, to me, yesterday, I had concerns walking into it. 713-572-4610, you could text in. I'm not sure. Did you have concerns if the Astros were really on the Yankees level? I did. I had concerns if they, as they are constructed, on that level. Right, like you've said it, like, the pitching has been amazing this year, but man, they've gone a month and a half where they ain't faced nobody, right? And this was a lineup they faced, and I wanted to see Framber, the guy that's your number two, how could he go against this lineup? Yesterday, in terms of the long-term thing, I feel much better about the Astros with the Yankees. Framber, the way he pitched, he gave up two hits, one of them being a three-run homer, but he gave up two hits and went through that
and fought
lineup.
Through first inning, first quarter, yeah. First inning adversity.
Yes,
no
and fought through. That's a big. Huge that's not for light him. For him.
Right,
yeah.
Correct.
Because you see him, he gets to walking around the mound and picking up things and reading love letters and stuff like that, putting on. Lotion, like he gets to, it gets away.
Why Jurgens? Why Jurgens?
I just look at Framber. He feels like a Jurgens guy. I don't like secretly. Like I feel like he puts in a suave bottle, but it's Jurgens. He doesn't want people to know that he's wearing Jurgens. But with that Bregman coming back, rolling like that was big. Like they were on that level, and I'm telling you, the biggest thing is, man, I don't care what nobody says. They have the best player, the best dude on the field. Yordan Alvarez is the best dude on the field. And he's clearly the guy that everyone fears. So last night, in a big picture way, they got the best player, in my opinion. Their starter held up. I'm not worried about Verlander. Like tonight, I think Verlander is going to show out like an ace should. And even if he doesn't, I'm not worried about Verlander. I was worried about Framber. So last night, yeah, it sucked in the ninth inning, but man, they rocking and rolling, man. I feel a lot better about the Astros today than I did walking into it.
Here's my deal, though. Here's the deal. I agree with you, but we're talking about a World Series contending team.
Yeah.
Right. I mean that's facing the best team in baseball.
That's right.
Like pointing out what they did well is great, but ultimately. You got, like, you were up three in the bottom of nine, man,
and
you got, I mean, just skull punched, man. Like, here's the deal. So if the shoe was on the other foot, and it's a tie ball game in the bottom of nine, and they pitch to Alvarez, and Alvarez hits a double and wins it, what are we talking about the next day? I cannot believe they pitched to Alvarez. I cannot believe they threw Alvarez a hittable pitch when it was a 3-0 count. We are dragging. The Yankees through the mud right now for making that single pitch.
But
my point is, I'm not knocking what you're saying. I agree with what you're saying. Big picture, in fact, I'd lean that direction a lot more than I do the knee jerk reaction to what happened in one night in a vacuum. But I cannot believe that Dusty Baker, the pitching coach, the Stanek, whoever made the damn decision to throw that ball over the middle of the plate in that situation to the best. Like if you're no more aware than that, like I got concerned about what's going to happen moving forward.
I can hear that. But my big thing to counteract that is what happened with Ryan Pressly last night is something that I don't think is going to be something that I'm concerned is going to happen.
Well, no, I agree.
You know what I mean?
No, I agree.
Like if Ryan Pressly had been struggling before and he's – like if you had a deal where, man, you don't know how you're going to close games, you don't feel confident about that. I don't feel that way about Ryan Pressly.
I don't
think most cases that it gets to that.
I agree wholeheartedly.
I hear you about that.
I don't care if Verlander's in the bottom of the nine and he's pitched a hell of a game. I don't care if it's Pressly or Stanek or who it is. If you got a 3-0 count on the best hitter in baseball that you're going to face, say that because Alvarez is in that conversation.
He is.
If you have a mound visit, the pit after it goes 3-0 and you're what happens after that. As an Astros fan, I sit there and watch you lay one over the middle of the plate that this guy laughs at as he rips it down the left field line.
Did he laugh?
That big ogre was grinning at it as he ripped it down the left field
line. You're doing it too now. Did you call him an ogre?
Well, yeah, I mean he's a Neanderthal. He looks
like
he calls him Shrek. Yeah, he calls him Shrek.
What's he doing in my swamp?
Yeah, I mean, I guess Shrek is an ogre. I mean, he is a Neanderthal-looking human being.
He said he was laughing.
I mean, I'd gladly change places with him. I'm not knocking him. He's a good-looking fella, but he's a big Neanderthal-looking son of a gun. I don't care whose fault it is. My concern coming off this with the Astros is that can happen. Not losing the 6-3 lead.
Possible.
Because a guy came out there, lost his control, didn't handle business. I get it.
It's the decision making that
I'm just like, you got to be.
And to me, like with everything that happened in that game, the likelihood of that occurring, I don't think is very high. And I just look at the things, man. Alex Bregman going 8-for-17 in his last several games with three homers. You're seeing the power, him getting on and walking is huge. Yordan is playing like the best player on the planet.
You want to move him down the lineup.
No, I said I wanted to look at it. I said I'm not there yet.
You were considering it.
I'm saying if he's going to continue to do that as a right-handed hitter, but you needed it.
I'm with you.
He's still hitting about 231. He's still hitting about 231, but we'll see here, man. I felt better about the Astros yesterday than I did walking in it. They can play with the Yankees. They are on par with the Yankees, and they don't have Lance back yet, and then they just got Jake Myers. But I think they need Surrey. Whatever. But coming up next is we are live out here at the Boot. Make your way on out here. We're here till 6 o'clock and a little bit after. And your chance, final chance coming up here in just a bit to win a Whitney Merciless helmet. We'll be giving that away right now. And if you haven't put a ticket in to win, you can go up and do that right now. Your chance to win that game-size helmet signed by Whitney Merciless. That's coming up next.
It's the Bullets and Bugs Tour, presented by Coors Light. Live at the Boot on West 20th in Houston. Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
That's right, we're live here. We're here till 6 o'clock. Hey, shout out to Tyler, who was doing all the hard work back there with a lot of things happening. Tyler right now was sitting there holding his breath. Not sure if I was going to be right here ready for this to start back up, but I got you. I got you. We appreciate you, man. You're doing a lot of hard work. All right, time in. Scottsdale Tyler. Boy, he gets on my damn nerves, man. I it's hard for me to just give that many compliments to Tyler right then and there. But
you like the poor gas.
Tyler is my daddy.
I love it. Well, he's –
You love that drop.
He always has gasoline in his hands as well. He is ready to go. No, I love the kid.
He's learned you quick now.
No, he's got me.
I mean, he's learned you quick though.
He knows the ones that hit me.
From a drop perspective, like you can be calling Tyler your daddy. But if it's you saying it, you love it.
I will admit right now, I'm shook.
See? Yeah, even you're calling Tyler your daddy, you're shook, and every time Tyler plays it, you smile like an outhouse.
I don't. The daddy one, I'm irritated every time. I'm on it. I'm irritated every time that I have to hear it.
Just the greatest producer in the world, Tyler, yeah. T-Mill.
See there?
That one doesn't bother me as much. I regret that one, though. That one right there.
That one right there?
No, the other one.
The daddy?
I'm not going to say that one ever again.
Oh. Okay.
I came in. I was honest. He was right about the Angels take, and I wanted to give him respect. I just did a little too damn much. I really did. I did too much. All right. By the way, before we get going here, a texter sent this in. They asked Clint, they wanted Tyler to ask you, whatever happened to Clint's toe fungus issue?
My toe fungus?
Yeah, people were concerned about that. Nothing happened. Have you got through that?
It's still happily living in my socks.
Oh, so you just...
It's the guy who recommended the limes. He wanted to know if you took his advice.
You haven't tried a damn thing, have you?
I have not. I've not tried one thing.
You're just accepting of it, like I am with the bike.
I'm not accepting of it. I'm not the guy that spends a whole hell of a lot of time on appearance.
You brought it to the table as you were concerned.
I'm concerned for my toenails. That, if you remember correctly, when I brought it to the table, I had kicked a coffee table and tore my toenail off of my foot.
And now that it's healed, you're fine. You're back to.
And the reason that it came completely off was because it was a little thicker than a toenail should be, and it may or may not have had a little fungus on it.
You think I'm the only one in here that doesn't know how to ride a bike?
Yes. Yes. Including, can Nicholas ride a bike yet? No, I mean, he's the youngest one in here. It's your son.
You know how to ride a bike?
Yes, he knows how to ride a bike.
It's a killer-ass bike rack you got, but you never use it. Why?
Yeah, I think I am. I think I may be the only one in here who doesn't know how to ride a bike. That's all right. That's all right. That's fine.
Your only chance was McLean, and he was on the backside. Maybe he forgot and lost the ability to.
McLean knows how. He just can't. Yeah. Can't anymore.
You ain't got a chance.
He can't anymore.
You put yourself in a league of your own. There's no doubt about that. Only guy in the Boot right here on a Friday afternoon. Crowded place. Great place. They can't ride a bike.
Speaking of McLean, what did you think about what he said earlier? He was talking about the Texans, and he said, like a lot of people think I may be crazy when I say this, but I think the Texans can be around the 9-game win mark next year. Not this year. Next year. And could battle for a playoff spot. What'd you think about that?
I don't think it's a stretch. There is a huge difference, show for in my opinion. There obviously I'm the one, but there is a huge difference between 9 wins and being a legit contender. Like I think Lovie Smith.
You mean like the Eagles and the Rams last year?
Correct. I think Lovie Smith could come in and could do, like I've said a million times, the football things appear to be done the right way. The football decisions appear to be made in a way that's conducive to winning football games. You can do those things, like have continuity on your offensive staff. Let Pep Hamilton hire his quarterback coach. Let them, you know, him and Lovie decide on who the O-line coach is going to be. Let them all speak the same language instead of this hodgepodge of three different offensive minds being in. Like, that is an example of what I'm talking about. If you do those things right, you can win 8 or 9 games. You got to work to be a 4 or 5 win team. You've got to try to suck to be a 4 or 5 win. Trust me, I've been on 3 of them. You've got to do things like that are mind-blowing to your really good football minds in order to win 4 or 5 football games.
They are going to be significantly better in terms of how they're coached and their approach.
Think about it. They won – what, they win 4 last year?
Yeah.
They won 4 ball games last year, and can we honest – and I'm just guessing because I'm not – my record – I've been hitting the head a few times. But I'm going to say that there were a legit 2 to 3 more games that they could have won if luck would have just gone their way, flipped their way maybe.
Or luck or stupidity didn't occur.
Fair, either way.
Dolphins.
Yes.
Jets.
Yes.
Maybe that last game against
the
Titans.
What did New England like?
New England they were leading the whole way.
Right, so my point
being – they had the punt situation.
So my point being is, did the Texans correct the things that cost them to lose those silly-ass games? Very likely. Very likely. So, I wanted to explain why. Get to 8 or 9 victories, yeah, but you still are going to be miles away from your teams that are in the playoffs consistently, that are talented and doing things right, that have a championship DNA, that expect to compete for a title, a Super Bowl championship, whatever, that are uber talented. So, I mean, you're still miles away from being real. The expectations in Houston, like right now, the expectations in Houston should be in 2 years, we better be a fringe playoff team. To me, that's legit. And if you're there this year, if you somehow pull off like what the Eagles did, where it was total dysfunction, fire the coach, hire the coach, get the quarterback out.
They won 9 games and went to the playoffs.
And got embarrassed in the first round.
And their quarterback wasn't great. Like he was. I mean,
I would say Davis Mills is a better passer of the football physically and mentally than Jalen Hurts. It's very comparable.
I'm just saying they didn't. The Eagles didn't get great quarterback play.
Agreed.
Last year they had solid, okay quarterback play, and just play that didn't kill you.
Unique
from
skill
game
set
to game.
That makes it a little difficult to game plan for. So there's a different vibe
just,
there. But yeah, I get your
he
point.
He didn't kill him.
Yeah.
Right.
Agreed.
And he does. He does have with his legs have a borderline elite skill that can get them out of trouble. But if you look at them as an example, they won 9 games, didn't get great quarterback play, and they were able to do it pretty quickly. So I don't think it's crazy. I hear McClain with that on that, especially with the division that they're in, very similar to the Eagles, where they don't have great teams. They're not in the AFC West or the NFC North.
I'll tell you this. If Stingley is average, if Stingley doesn't live up to his 3 overall and he's just a good starting, solid starting corner in this league, Jalen Petrie is a good starting safety in this league, Christian Harris becomes a linebacker that you can rely on. Who am I missing? Give me the top guy. Kenyon Green, obviously, becomes a good starting guard in this league. Then this team should win 8 or 9 games in 2 years.
Because
along with Brevin Jordan, Nico Collins, all the last year's
two first round
Davis
picks
Mills.
Next year, you're adding more.
I don't think what John McClain said is a stretch. I don't think it's now until I see. Like, I like Pep Hamilton. No. I don't know what he's going to look like as a play caller in the moment. I don't know. I need to see. And I don't even care as much as if it's successful early as if what it looks like. I need to see a play caller with the Texans The product I need to see week one is a guy that goes, hey, I realize that I don't have the talent that everybody else has. I've got to be really creative with Brandon Cooks and with Brevin Jordan and with Marlon Mack is the guy. I got to be really creative with the dudes that I have because I do not have X factors. Like, that is, to me, that's when you find out if you've really got a bona fide play caller. Hell, anybody can call plays when you've got a stud, you know, like right now.
Well, you've got DeAndre Hopkins and Deshaun Watson as your quarterback.
I mean, you can be a bad play caller, which they proved here, and live in the playoffs, win the division consistently. The times when you can like Pep Hamilton can earn a lot of money, man, if this next year he puts a product out there. They don't have to win a ton of games. They don't have to light the world on fire offensively. But if the product is one like, boy, you could see them gaining advantages with shifts and motions and formations and different designs, creative designs. And again, I'm not talking about anything outside the box. We see college. Look, I watch, and I'm just because I watch them more than anybody. The Kendall Briles, which a lot of people here are familiar with from his years at Baylor, and I mean, he is a guy that he is a play caller that does more with less everywhere he's been. Everywhere. Like, I'm convinced of that. If Pep Hamilton is that dude, he will be in the NFL for 20 years and be one of the highest paid OCs out there. Conversely, if he's not, maybe short-lived.
That's,
we'll see.
That's the thing with Nick Sirianni in Philadelphia, because Philadelphia is the pamphlet to watch. Like, that's what you want to look at. But they eventually found that they do something above average, and that's run. Let's run the ball with their quarterback, with their running game. Their running game became their big weapon. And, we'll see if Pep can find something.
But look at how they did that, right? Was you Carson Wentz out the gate, gone. Okay, now you've got Jalen Hurts, who you need in the locker room, you need on the field to be the dude because he's a great leader. Okay, do we put him out there and expect him to be Carson Wentz?
No.
Do we expect him to win games like Tony Romo, knowing that that's not who he is?
It took him a while to get there, though.
Sure, no question. Yeah. But ultimately, you build your offense around the dude that you need to be your starting quarterback that you're leaning on. That's confidence should be sky high in Philly because of that.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn what you look like in the first round. The truth of the matter is, you've got an offensive staff that knows how to build an offense around Jalen Hurts, for crying out. And I love Jay. I love Jalen. I think he's got a chance to be really good down the road. But they plugged him in for Carson Wentz, and he took him to the playoffs. I mean, that's a huge accomplishment, man. So that's just what you hope Pep Hamilton has a little bit of that in him.
Yeah, you hope so. Clint Sterner, Ron the show. Tyler Milner doing the hard work. Texans All Access coming up behind us. As you join Mark Vandermeer and John Harris,
Rock and
then the
and
best
roll,
of
meow.
I can't. That one, I just can't. I'm never over that one. That one always shakes me for a couple of seconds.
Yeah, I mean, did
he really do that? Like, what?
Yes, that was on air.
It's a Halloween thing.
Yeah, I mean,
nobody can
fake that. I
that's
mean,
that's pretty.
That's legitimately Vandermeer. Yeah, if I were Vandermeer, I'd cringe a bit every time I heard that one.
And
Vandy's a rock and roll kind of guy. Like, I think Vandy kind of gets outside his box every now and then. And that one right there would make me cringe a bit.
Let's get it on, baby.
Now, see, that
that's
one, now that's Vandy.
That's Vandy.
Now,
right
when Vandy
there.
Turns into Garfield, that one throws me off.
Rock and roll, meow.
Hey, I used to be able to draw.
Rock and roll.
Did you ever draw Garfield?
No.
Like, when you were younger, did you ever draw Garfield?
No.
See, that's a generation.
Would you
gap.
Trace him?
No, I could draw Garfield.
You could draw, like a piece of paper and a mechanical pencil, I'm guessing.
I was a mechanical pencil guy, no question about it. Anybody over 40 years old.
That's crazy.
At some point in their life was drawing Garfield.
Bob, did you draw Garfield? No, you're alone on that. Yeah, what are you doing?
This must
be something Linda pushed you to
this
do.
This guy's from Ohio, man. What are you talking about?
What does that mean? You said anyone over 40 drew Garfield, no matter where they live.
I mean, I feel like I wasn't in a space of my own. I felt like I was drawing Garfield for a reason. Ninja Turtles. Did you draw Ninja Turtles?
I traced them.
Well, you're lazy as hell.
Well, I mean, I'm not a good drawer.
They probably looked better than yours, though.
I'm not a good drawer. I'm tracing them. I'm going to trace them.
Bob, did you draw Ninja Turtles?
No, I tell you what I did.
He's disqualified from the conversation. He didn't draw.
I drew the helmets of my favorite football teams.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm just that's right, what I did. Right.
What kind of fun is in that? Garfield and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I'm just saying what I drew. You're saying you sat down. And you said, "Ooh, Donatello, let me draw him."
Yes.
And I'm gonna put the stick on him and everything.
Yes.
Ooh, my favorite Raphael because he cussed. He was my favorite because he said, "Damn." That was my favorite.
You knew who carried the stick. You knew who cussed. So look, just because I was drawing him, don't put me in a different category. Don't hate on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, I'm not.
I know I wasn't the only. I know I was not the only 40-something out there that was out there drawing the.
Just not getting anybody
turtles.
Else saying that they did it.
They're younger than me.
You drew them. You drew them. Come on, man. You just
there. You go.
Yeah. All right, man. I got you, man. Help out, Clint. Help him out. You ain't drawing.
He did. No question. He drew the teenage. Growing up, did you draw Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
It's with Clint's just yelling out people right now in the crowd. He doesn't hear him.
Look at Lil Show. Lil Show's going, I drew both two of the four last night.
Let me tell you what. that kid ain't draw nothing. That's not the artistic kid in the bunch right there, baby. Get in here, try to get him to draw a Ninja Turtle. That ain't him. Maybe Lauren, but that ain't him. All right, Mark Vandermeer, apparently someone who drew Garfield. Coming
Rock
up behind us, John
meow.
Harris as well. I've been listening. Fellas, I know you can hear it. Let us know right off the bat on Texas All Access if you two, because they're both over 40, if you two just all of a sudden drew Garfield. I want to hear that from them. Tyler, were you a Garfield drawer?
That's going to be a no for me, dog. Yeah, I did draw. I made like my own comic books and stuff, but I didn't draw Garfield.
Yeah, okay, I can get that. Comic books?
Never read one.
So you're saying you and Hank used to just chill over there and just drawing.
He was very artistic. Like he could draw legit draw. He could legit draw. I just tried from time to time. And Garfield and the Ninja Turtles were my go-tos.
There you go.
I mean, yeah, that's it.
All right, Verlander tonight. You feel good about the Astros?
I feel really good about Verlander tonight. I'm stoked as an Astros fan that after last night's debacle, regardless of whose fault it was, we got Verlander to rebound with.
Yep. Yeah, that's what you want, right?
I honestly wish that the Presley situation wouldn't have went down in back-to-back outings because I've been in his shoes before and fumbled away a huge opportunity, and you're chomping at the bit to get back into
–
like you can't wait to get back on the diamond, back on the field.
Wednesday.
He can't pitch again tonight, can he? Three straight nights?
Yeah.
I mean, I heard Landry and Lopez talking about this earlier.
I don't think so.
Yeah, like, first thought is, like, he's a closer. He should be able to.
But what do you
Lopez
think he's saying?
Lopez went down the list. And like, I don't think he went back-to-back nights. I heard Lopez blurt three of them out over a two-month span earlier on in the loop. So, I mean, clearly the back-to-back nights is rare for him, much less the three nights in a row.
Especially
so,
with the bit of the injury thing
I know
had.
If I were Presley, I'd be telling Dusty, put my ass
I'm
back out there. I'm
I'll
ready. I need to get this taste out of my mouth, partner.
I hear you. All right, Texans All Access coming up behind us, the best of following them. Thank you all so much. You guys were great today as our final stop on the Bullets and Bugs Tour. We appreciate you. The boot, fantastic as well. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job with all the work. Matt, great job as well keeping us on the air these 20 dates, especially today with all this. See, everybody, cool off. Enjoy yourself. I am Ron, the show, Hughley, as always, Houston. We love you, baby.
Stupid calling somebody Tie Tie. Start calling just Washington. Sounds like he's a little baby. Tie Tie, come here, Tie Tie. Crawl over here, Tie Tie.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.